Crazy first week of the basketball season, huh? We get ready for week two. We're going to look back. We're going to look forward on this new edition of Central Region Now. Hi, friends. Rob Witham here on the RBA Sports Network. Happy Sunday night as we record this. And we have decided that this would be a very good night to move our podcast for the winter sports season. Occasionally, we'll have some midweek podcasts depending upon things that are happening and whatnot. But with the holidays quickly approaching, with us announcing our new boys and girls basketball top tens every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern time on the RBA Sportsnet on Twitter, we thought, you know what? Sunday night's a good night to just kind of kick back, relax, take a few minutes, kind of look back at what's happened this past week, look ahead to some of the big events that are coming up in the week to come. And that's what we're going to do, at least for the time being here. It's one of the great things about a podcast. I'm not limited to a corporate radio owner saying, okay, you have to be on this day from this time to this time. With the podcast, if things happen and things get crazy, all you got to do is, you know, hop online, record the podcast, tell the world it's there, and you can download, listen, and enjoy. And we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for you welcoming our podcast Central Region Now as part of your routine here this year. Beginning with our first one just before football season back in late August and throughout the football season. And now we go into basketball season, gymnastics underway, swimming underway, wrestling underway in full swing, indoor track meets this past week, lots of stuff going on, lots of action taking place. And I sat down last night when I got home from the Conference 20 Girls Championship game, the tip-off tournament, and I figured out that I had seen 17 different basketball teams, 15 high school, 2 college, live in 5 days or 120 hours. I saw one team 3 times. That would be the Monacan girls. I saw one team twice. I saw 3 teams twice, and that would be the Midlothian girls, the J.R. Tucker and the Glen Allen girls, all part of that Conference 20 tip-off tournament. And each year we try to go to a different event. Last year we spent some time with the Conference 20 boys. Next year it may be the Rebel Invitational. It just kind of depends upon how the schedules lay out, because there's so many things that are that go on. And of course, in the first weekend in December, you don't know who still may be in the football mix. And this year, we had a team playing both Friday night and a team playing on Saturday afternoon. So, you know, if you ever wondered, how do you guys figure out where you're going to go, where you're going to be live? There are some times, I'll be honest with you, that we go into a week and we keep things wide open. We've got a couple of nights this week that right now we have wide open. We have not made a decision yet as to where we are going to go. A lot of it depends upon the most interest. Things like that can change as time goes on, as especially early in seasons, basketball, football, baseball, et cetera, et cetera. With our football season, we're tied in with WHAN radio. So therefore, we have to have a look in the first 6-7 weeks of the year and be able to say, okay, this is where we're going to be. But when it comes to basketball, if somebody we thought would play well got off to a slow start, or there's a surprise team in the area we want to cover, we can kind of change our focus on a dime, really, which is another one of the advantages of having this new media and the availability of internet radio, internet live broadcasting and podcasting, et cetera, et cetera. So, well, before we get into our boys and girls basketball top tens, kind of take a little look back at this past week in action. And yes, we will talk high school football before all is said and done. I want to say a couple of things outside of the area. Number one, in the National Football League, just a very, very quick personal note. Those of you who are listening who are still in your high school or college years, You have, if you are a football fan, likely a favorite team in the National Football League. Let me give you a lesson about your future, and that is this. When you get older and your children pick different teams than you do, suddenly you find yourself more interested in their games than in your game. So today, I took a brief nap late this afternoon to wake up and, to my surprise, find my Oakland Raiders beating San Francisco, who apparently have thrown in the towel. There must be we think there's turmoil at Redskins Park in Ashburn. I suspect there is much more so at the 49ers headquarters in California, because that team has just completely collapsed. And I know there have been some injuries and some issues too, but there's too much going on behind the scenes with all the different rumors and questions about, you know, head coach Jim Harbaugh, that can we trade him? You know, they're trying to get value for him. It's very unusual to see a coach traded in any sport. It's only happened a handful of times. So imagine my surprise when I woke up and I thought, oh no, we're screwing up the number one pick in the draft. What are we doing? What are we doing? But then later on, after they had won, and I was looking in some information and figured out that right now the Raiders don't have the number one pick in the draft. Tampa Bay has now taken it over, and I realized that, okay, they've got Mike Evans, and he's a stud. Great rookie receiver. One of three really good rookie receivers this year. Him, Beckham over with the Giants, which is my favorite NFC team, and they had a nice win today, finally. And of course, Kelvin Benjamin out of Carolina from Florida State. You know, they got Evans. So, you know, what I'm thinking is, you know, the Raiders, we need Amari Cooper, okay? I'm just telling you. He's the second coming to Cliff Branch. In fact, he's kind of a combination of Branch and Biletnikoff, for those of you who are old school and remember how Branch beat you with speed, but Biletnikoff beat you with the ability to just catch the ball anywhere on the field. Yeah, I know he had the stuff on his hands, but it was legal back in the 60s and 70s. Okay, it was legal back then. But he's kind of a combination of the two, and if Derek Carr is ever going to, you know, grow up as a quarterback, he's got to have a go-to receiver. He's got to. I mean, he doesn't even have really a fluid tight end at this point. He had a great day today, that's for sure, with the win over San Francisco. But, yeah, I found myself going, all right, the Raiders. And then I was, like, filled with angst for a moment about our pick in the draft because, you know, our season's long gone. Whereas my son's favorite team is San Francisco, and immediately my heart just kind of sunk. And I'm like, you know, my son works nights, so he's already at work this evening. I thought about texting him and figured, no, he's probably already got the bad news and doesn't want to talk about it. And then on the other hand, there's my daughter, who's a Cincinnati Bengal fan. And before I took the nap, I sat and watched them melt down to the second half against Pittsburgh with Le'Veon Bell just going crazy today. Even though A.J. Green had, what, 224 yards receiving? Mm-mm-mm. So, you know, the Bengals are now in trouble, even though they're still in first place by half a game. It's a tenuous hold, and they're not looking good here down the stretch. And so, you know, I find myself spending 80% of the time I'm focusing on the NFL, looking at the Bengals and the 49ers rather than my Raiders or the Giants, because they're my kids' teams. So just a little future thought. For those of you who are down the road, you'll have your family, and you'll look back one night, and you'll think about this podcast, and you'll go, that guy was right. I don't care as much about my blank anymore. I can't believe I'm sitting here watching the blank team, because it's your son or your daughter that is, you know, rooting for them, and therefore you start finding yourself cheering them on too. But I did have a rule in my house, and that is nobody roots for Dallas. Sorry, Cowboy fans. I grew up with an older brother who at the time in the 70s was a huge Redskins fan, and therefore the Cowboys were the team that shall not be named in my household back in Beaver Dam back in the 70s. And it's kind of carried over. I've had a pretty good disdain for the Cowboys franchise ever since the days of Staubach and Landry and Morton, etc. All right, and we digress. Part two of my digression is to college football. We talked about this, and we did announce on Twitter when they sent out the top four teams that are making the inaugural college football playoff. First three, totally understand. I can see why Florida State, even though they're undefeated, is not the number one seed because of their on-field performance and etc., etc. All that I understand. So I have no problem with the top three. I have a major problem with number four. And that is, I really don't care about how great Ohio State looked in one game against Wisconsin, because what the committee basically did, in my personal view, was they did two things. We've learned two lessons here from this committee in their inaugural role here with the CFP. Number one is, if you don't have a conference championship game, you're in trouble. That's number one. The Big 12 has now learned that already, to the point where their commissioner said today they're going to look at their options, which includes either petitioning the NCAA for a waiver, because you're supposed to have 12 teams in order to have a conference championship game. And I know in this crazy world of college sports, the Big 10 has 12 teams and the Big 12 has 10 teams. Go figure. Or the Big 10 has 14 teams now because of Maryland and Rutgers. So, you know, nothing makes sense. Anyway, so the Big 12 only has 10 teams, so right now they can't have a conference championship game. They had one just a few years ago, but then when they lost some members, they had to drop it. So I would not be surprised to see the Big 12 go for another round of a couple of new teams, and there may be some more minor shuffling in terms of conference alignments. And even with, you know, then you throw in UAB closing down their program, and a lot of people already talking about, you know, the replacement for them in Conference USA could be a Liberty or a James Madison. They are two hot names in the mix because they're going to have to turn around and find another team. And if the Big 12 is serious and they decide to go for 12 teams so that they can have the conference championship game again, because I do think they were penalized for that. And number two, we learned that you can lose to a team that ends up being highly mediocre early in the season, and it doesn't matter. The committee, the head of the committee today when they announced it on television just glowed about how Ohio State killed Wisconsin last night. And the whole time he did, I thought to myself, okay, you're putting so much emphasis on this one game. What about the other game when they were at home in September to a team that finished barely 6-6 in Virginia Tech and they lost? And they lost. That game obviously means nothing. I personally also think that there was some pressure on the committee to have marquee names in the top four, if at all possible. If it was a toss-up between Ohio State and TCU, let's face it, you know, or Ohio State and Baylor, let's face it, Ohio State is the marquee name. They have the tradition. They've got the Urban Meyer. They've got the long-standing tradition as one of the top teams in college football history, along with the Alabama. You know, so I think there was a little bit of that working in their favor as well. But the number one lesson we've learned is the Big 12 better get a conference championship and fast, or they are going to quickly become irrelevant in college football unless they have a team that goes undefeated. Simple as that. So that's just my personal thoughts. You may totally disagree, maybe sitting there listening and going, oh, man, Ohio State, man, they proved they were one of the top four teams, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, there's such a difference between a committee sitting down over a weekend and picking the top four teams for a two-round playoff and a committee sitting down over 5 days and picking 68 teams for a huge tournament, you know, that is the NCAA Men's Division I basketball tournament. And you can argue all day and half the night about who should be 68 and who's out at number 69. That's not that big of a deal. But when you're talking about the number four versus the number five team, and you're telling the number five team in the country, who, by the way, you know, they can't help that there's no conference championship game in their conference. They have no control over it. They get their schedule, they play it. What else can I say? And I never thought TCU should be in the position that they were in, even coming into this week, simply because Baylor beat them. I mean, Baylor beat TCU on the field. On the field, this is what surprised me about the selections today. And I was happy at least to see Baylor go over TCU to that fifth position, the first team out, because what happens on the field should matter. And it seems like it only matters if it's impressive, based on what I heard from this selection committee earlier today. So you knew going into this, any new era with college football, and they finally let four teams in, that it was not going to work very well, because frankly, they need to do 8 or 16. I don't think they should go any more than 16. Some people want to go 24 or 32, and I'm like, no, that's too much. But I think an 8 or a 16 is fine. And the whole argument about missing classes, every other division in college football does a 16, 24, you know, 24 in the FCS, 32 teams. In fact, it's either 24 or 32, Division II, Division III. They do the playoffs right after the regular season, and they all figure out how to get to their classes. The NCAA men's basketball tournament, those guys, those ladies, they figure out how to get to their classes. They get it done, so they should be able to do it. And I think eventually money will rule out. And one day, the ESPNs of the world and the head of the NCAA or whatever is going to morph out of that with the Power Five conferences. They're going to look and realize, you know what, if we made this into a blank team tournament, this would just be a mega windfall. And at some point, they're going to need that money, especially if the Ed O'Bannon court ruling continues to kind of change college sports in the landscape that it looks like it's going to eventually do, and students are going to start getting some stipends for what they do. And I don't have a problem really with stipends for, you know, food and I know they don't have to pay for their travel costs. I get that. But, you know, if you've got Marcus Page at North Carolina, and he's all over North Carolina basketball paraphernalia, and North Carolina's making hundreds of thousands of dollars, and his likeness is on it, and he can't get $100 a week so he could buy a pizza or maybe get the extra book that he wants or whatever the case may be. I don't know. I just have a hard time with that. There's got to be some sort of a middle road there. I used to be strictly, hey, you're getting your tuition, you're getting your room and board, you should be happy with that. And I've kind of evolved a little bit on that simply because I just think it's unfair when you're using somebody else as their likeness. And that's the whole thing behind Ed O'Bannon. He's like, you know, kids have been playing my likeness on NCAA games, on video games now for 20 years since my team won the national title in 1995. And I haven't seen Jack. And so, yeah, I mean, he makes a great point. He makes a fantastic point. So, all right, we move off of that. And we look at basketball. We will finish with football, but we'll look at basketball. Let's talk about our new top 10s. And let's talk about the girls first. And here they are. We're going to go ascending, I should say, from 10 to 1. At 2 and 1, new to the poll, J.R. Tucker, who has a pretty impressive inside-out game after having a chance to see them a couple of times. They're going to give their Colonial District foes some fits in this regular season. Teams still playing their old district schedules. Godwin is down this year. Deep Run's only played one game. They only beat Patrick Henry by 4, and PH is down this year as well. So J.R. Tucker could make some noise. And, of course, you know, the more wins you get in the regular season, the chances are better that you end up with a higher seed going into your conference tournament. And right now in Conference 20, it looks like Monacan, and then right behind them Midlothian, and then Glen Allen and J.R. Tucker are right there. Glen Allen falls out of the poll, and Glen Allen last night in that third-place game in Conference 20, holy cow, if they could have made a third of the shots that they missed in the fourth quarter, both inside the paint or at the free throw line, there never would have been an overtime and J.R. Tucker wouldn't have had a chance to win. But it was missed opportunity after missed opportunity, and the Jaguars know that. So they fall to 1-2. Interestingly enough, on the regular schedule, they play each other Wednesday night. So they're going to turn right around and play each other again. The game will be at J.R. Tucker, battle between the Jaguars and the Tigers. And if you don't know it, not familiar with the early history of Glen Allen, it's not. You would think Hermitage would be their early rival because of the close proximity. No, it's actually J.R. Tucker. They are bitter rivals, and it did not take long. And it all started with football. Number 9 in the girls' poll, down a couple of notches, is Anna Wilson and Collegiate. They're at number 9 this week. Up 2 to number 8 is Atlee. Atlee with a win this week over Patrick Henry. Their next game is Atlee Davis on Tuesday night. Game you'll hear live here on the RVA Sports Network beginning at 6 p.m. on Tuesday night, part of a doubleheader. We'll be broadcasting the Atlee and Lee Davis doubleheader on Tuesday evening, Battle of Eastern Hanover. Number 7, Midlothian. Even though they lost to Monacan in the Conference 20 Tip-Off Girls Championship Final last night, they played very well. They were without Zara Tanner, who had hurt her knee, banged her knee. I'm not sure if it was either on the floor or against another player's knee in the semifinal win on Friday night, and so she was not able to play. Doesn't look like it's going to be a long-term injury. She's going to be fine. She'll be back very soon. But with Monacan, you got to have all hands on deck because they had Megan Walker in the lineup last night, and we'll talk about that in just a second. Also new to our poll, two new teams in the poll at number 6, 2-0 Henrico, and they have impressed mightily. We had their opening game last Monday night against Godwin at Godwin. They came out pressing from the start and just completely swallowed up the Eagles. Now, yeah, the Eagles are young this year, but Mills Godwin always fields a pretty good basketball team, and Henrico just took them to school. It was not even close. It was a very eye-opening performance. And then for Henrico to go to Hermitage on Friday night and knock off Destiny Walker and the Panthers, who were just outside of our top 10 poll, and now they have started 0-2. Now, tough schedule to begin with for Coach because they started with Highland Springs and they lost to them. And then they host Henrico, and Henrico is a much better team this year, and they lost by 2. So Hermitage will be back. Not worried about Hermitage. I fully expect to see them in our top 10 poll extremely, extremely soon. They'll have plenty of chance to right the ship. We're only 2 games into the season. But Henrico, very great performance this week, and they come into the poll at 6. Number 5, down from number 1, Cosby. Cosby gets two wins this weekend in the Conference 3 tip-off classic. They really don't have a tournament like Conference 20 does, but they do try to play some of the other teams in Conference 3, some that are out of town, and they picked up a couple of wins there. But, of course, the big one was the one-versus-two battle on Tuesday night when they played Tasha Cole and L.C. Bird, and they lost, big. It was not a close game. And the Skyhawks took care of the Titans, first time Cosby had lost in the regular season in a couple of years. So they fall to number five in the poll. I'm going to tell you one thing right now. The first time Cosby plays the number four team, it's going to be a barn burner. And the first time the number four team plays the number three team, which is coming up this week, also going to be a barn burner. Monacan is at number four. They are 4-0. And we saw them live Wednesday night broadcasting here on the network when we had them in the opener of the Conference 20 tip-off tournament at Hanover. They won without a problem, but no Megan Walker. Friday night, they struggled against Tucker. They pulled away in the final stretch of the fourth quarter. It was not an impressive win by any stretch of the imagination, and J.R. Tucker played them very, very tightly. Another reason why Tucker grabbed that number 10 spot in the poll this week. But last night, Megan Walker came in, and she came in off the bench both in the first and the second half, and she exploded. She had 6 points, 7 points in the first half, 25 after the break, when Monacan pulled the game away. And they ended up winning by 13. So they're 4-0, and I'm going to tell you one thing right now. Megan Walker has one of the purest jump shots I have ever seen. Boys basketball, girls basketball, at the high school level. Been watching high school basketball since the early 1980s, and Megan Walker's got one of the most pure jump shots I've ever seen. It was almost flawless. Almost flawless. And she's just a sophomore. But I don't want people to think that the Chiefs are just Megan Walker, because they got to 3-0 essentially without her. They are deep. They are athletic. They've got height. Star Jordan is going to be a good player underneath for them. Monacan's going to be a great team. And you think about it, in the same Dominion district, and I know they don't play a district tournament anymore, yada, yada, but they still play their regular season schedule. Cosby's going to play Monacan twice. Monacan's going to play L.C. Bird twice, and Bird and Cosby have a rematch January 20th, and we'll have it live here on the RBA Sports Network. And we're going to work on having the Monacan game against one of the other teams here live on the network as well. We never announce a game until we have it cleared with the home athletic director. We're hoping to do it. We haven't got it cleared yet, so that's why if you look on our broadcast schedule on one of our websites, it's not there. But this week, when Monacan takes on the number three team in our poll, and that is the Skyhawks of L.C. Bird, batting down the hatches, that's going to be a fantastic matchup. It's at L.C. Bird, and it's Tuesday night. Tuesday night is going to be crazy. We're going to have Monacan and L.C. Bird on the girls' side. That is number three hosting number four. And then on the boys' side, when this is all while we're broadcasting live, the Atlee Lee Davis doubleheader, you're going to have Highland Springs and Armstrong on the boys' side. And Armstrong just outside of our top 10. Highland Springs, you'll find out where they are in just a moment. And Henrico and Deep Run are going to go at it at Deep Run, and they are both in the top 10. So that's all Tuesday night. Tuesday night's going to be a fantastic night of high school basketball. But back to the countdown. Number three, we kind of let the cat out of the bag a moment ago, Tasha Cole and L.C. Bird. They had number one in their hands, and they went up to the Art Turner tip-off last night up in Fairfax, and they lost to Good Counsel of Maryland by 7 points. No shame in that, obviously. Some of the top teams in the region getting together for that big classic at Paul VI High School in Fairfax County. But we had a hard time placing them with a loss above a couple of teams that are still undefeated. And so that's why they are number three right now, even though they are ahead of the unbeaten Monacan Chiefs. So that might cause some conversation. Of course, Monacan's got a chance to answer that by going down to Bird and beating them Tuesday night. Number two team coming off of their tip-off tournament victory down in the Tri-Cities, Ariel Stevenson and Prince George moving up from number four. They're unbeaten, and the Royals are looking good early, as we are not surprised. And the new number one team in our girls' poll, and a team that's going to have to prove themselves at that number one ranking, because they've only got one win right now, and they don't play again, schedule quirk, until Friday night when they go to Atlee. And they are the Springers of Highland Springs High School. So again, girls' top 10 is Highland Springs, Prince George, L.C. Bird, Monacan, Cosby, your top five. Henrico, Midlothian, Atlee Collegiate, J.R. Tucker rounding out the top 10. On the boys' side, here we go, guys. Here we go. New top 10. New to the poll, number 10, after an impressive win last night at the ASA All-Star Classic. They knocked off previously unbeaten number 3, Benedictine. And they are the Monarchs of Meadowbrook, who weren't far away from our preseason top 10. But, man, have they impressed. That was a grinded-out 53-51 win. and the Monarchs, now still unbeaten, come into the top 10 at number 10, one of the two new teams in our top 10 poll. Number 9 is the other top 10 team, Mr. Morgan and his Warriors of Motueka, off to a 3-0 start earlier yesterday in that same classic. They beat Turner Ashby, and they beat him pretty handily to stay unbeaten. So two Central District teams coming into the top 10, Meadowbrook at 10 and Motueka at 9. Benedictine was 3, and because of the loss last night, they fall to number 8 in the top 10 poll, climbing above them two notches to number 7. Impressive weekend for the Hopewell Blue Devils. Three very impressive wins to get their season started. And so Hopewell now moves up to number 7. Deep Run finally got on the court on Friday night. Their opener was at home against Patrick Henry, and they swamped the Patriots by 35. And they are at number 6 in our poll, moving up one slot, moving up 3 to number 5 after an impressive weekend at the Conference 20 tip-off tournament. Grayson Medulla, DeAndre Robinson, and the Glen Allen Jaguars. Glen Allen had arguably one of the best weeks in the area, and rewarded as such. But they're going to have a huge test coming up. Top 5 match on Saturday. We'll talk about that in a moment. John Marshall moves up two spots to number 4. They had a very impressive win last night over IC Norcom, 1-9. So a very good start to the season for John Marshall. And again, they're going to be a force in 3A. George Wythe, they fell out of our top 10. They had a big loss yesterday at the ASA Classic. But they're going to come back. I suspect they'll be back in our top 10 at some point, and they'll rally the troops and things will be good. But it was a tough day yesterday for the Bulldogs. Top 3, number 3, Highland Springs. We mentioned them a moment ago. They've got to go to Armstrong on Tuesday night, and then they got to go to Glen Allen on Saturday afternoon. Number 2 and number 1 remain the same. Number 2, LC Bird, with a couple of great wins last week. Took care of Cosby, took care of Manchester. They're unbeaten and looking good. And number 1, 3-0 after destroying Brook Point in the second half yesterday over at the ASA All-Star Classic, Monty Buckingham and the Warriors of Henrico. So we've got Warriors at number 9 and Warriors at number 1. Henrico holding steady in the top spot there. We will post both top 10 lists, of course, on all three of our websites, HanoverCountySports.net, HenricoCountySports.net, and ChesterfieldCountySports.net. Now let's talk football. First, congratulations to LC Bird. Overcoming some issues yesterday that could have put their game and their season at peril. I'll be honest with you guys. I don't know how sometimes they can commit so many penalties, but they still find a way to win. It's one of the stranger conundrums that I've seen at football on any level, because most teams that commit a lot of penalties do not end up in state championships or national championships or big bowl games or Super Bowls or whatever. But the Skyhawks just continue to have a niche of being able to find a way to win. And yesterday, it was about getting opportunities, taking advantage of opportunities, especially that interception that set them up for the touchdown second half. Jalen Elliott getting the 3 touchdown runs, Steven Mines getting his work done, and then the defense doing what they needed to do at crucial times. What a sack by Ashby there to wrap it up late in the game when it was still a one-possession game, ended up that way at 21-13. Great job by Bird to go on the road and take care of business. And now they can go back to a place they've played the last 2 years. They know Scott Stadium very well. And they get Tuscarora in the state championship. And for that, it's all about stopping Tuscarora's running back. And I'm looking up his name right now because it has escaped me. But you're going to have to stop him if you're going to win. And there's no reason. We mentioned this last week during the Hermitage game on Twitter at Chesterfield Sports. I said very simply that there's no reason if the team, and talking about the Skyhawks, can continue to play as well as they've played and they can cut down on the penalties, there's no reason why they can't go three-peat. No reason at all. And they've got the shot. They've got it coming up on Saturday afternoon. Noah Reimers. That's his name. Couldn't remember his name. But he's a load, and they're going to have to stop him. But it's, to me, if they stop him, you got a running back who's had about 3,000 yards rushing this year. It's obvious that he's been the horse. And so if you stop him, what are they going to do? And LC Bird has a penchant for taking top running backs out of the game. Ask Lumon Dandridge at Atlee. Ask Jonte Wilson at Hermitage. Neither one got going in the regionals against them. And so they have the power to do it defensively. The question is, can they do it? And so it should be some good old-fashioned power football on a Saturday afternoon. Kickoff is just after 12 noon. Game is at Scott Stadium in Charlottesville. And normally, the 5A and the 6A state championship games are televised here in the area. We will look up that information. As soon as we have it, we will tweet it out for you and let you know. I know my buddy Gary Hess. And Gary Criswell at 9:10. They will be up there in Charlottesville for the game. And, of course, we will keep you updated with updates on Twitter all afternoon during the game at Chesterfield Sports on Twitter. And for those of you who joined us on Chesterfield Sports on Twitter this past week with our Conference 20 tournament coverage, as well as our coverage of Bird Saturday and especially Monacan on Friday night. Wow, what a game. And we'll wrap up the podcast with that in a moment. We just want to thank you for joining us and for your support on Twitter. Always, always appreciated. And we take every follower that comes our way very seriously on all of our Twitter feeds. And it's our job to serve you as professionally, as journalistically as we possibly can. That is our job. That's our responsibility as a member of the media. And hopefully we bring you solid coverage, good coverage, accurate coverage. That's what we're looking to do. And so to every one of you that follow us on Twitter, we say thank you. And now I want to wrap up with a big shout out. Got to send it out to Coach Henderson and the Chiefs at Monacan High School. You know, we saw that the play and that everybody knows now, you know, there was when Matt at NBC 12 put a highlight up of it Friday night, we retweeted that on Chesterfield Sports so that people that didn't go to the game, who couldn't see the game, would be able to see a copy of, you know, what happened. And I wanted to see what happened, obviously. So we sent that retweet out. And then over the weekend, it got caught by Bleacher Report, and it got caught, I think, by Fox and maybe even somebody else. I don't know. And we saw them, and honestly, I decided not to retweet that simply because we all knew it by that point what happened. We had already sent a copy out of what happened because, you know, from the highlights from our buddies at NBC 12. After that, to me, I don't know, it just felt like insult to injury. It was just simply a lapse in a very emotional moment. And, you know, every one of the kids that were on the field in that play, be they on the field, really part of the 11 in the special teams, be they on the sidelines, every one of them, you know, that play, I know, is going to cut them to their soul for the rest of their life. And I understand that. But a personal note to Coach Henderson and all the Chiefs, your season was magical. One play still does not make or break a season. Remember August 30th when you beat Dinwiddie in the opener and everybody thought it was a fluke and thought that all they thought about was, ooh, the Generals must have really lost a lot to graduation. How did they lose to Monacan? I didn't hear anybody that opening night before Labor Day talk about, ooh, the Chiefs could have a big season coming up. Nobody said that. Everybody said fluke, especially after they lost big to Manchester and LC Bird. But I forget who it was on Twitter on Friday who mentioned something about Monacan, and I had to explain to him. I said, look, the Monacan team that's playing right now, tonight, is not the same Monacan team that lost to Bird in late September. They grew. They matured. Their defense, I'll be honest with you, after seeing Heritage live in the previous round before Monacan went down to play him in the state quarters, I had my doubts that Monacan could overcome them because Heritage seemed to be able to adapt and play a passing game against a run-first team or a running game against a pass-first defensive team. And Monacan did a phenomenal job stopping the Hurricanes to get to the point to play Lake Taylor. And then practically nobody gave them a chance against Lake Taylor. I mean, if you read Twitter last week, you know what I'm talking about. And they had the lead for 59, well, not 59, it's pro football. Duh. They had the lead. They had the lead for 47 minutes and change. And, you know, all they had to do was complete the play there on the, but you know what? If I'm 16 or 17 and I just blocked or I just watched my teammate block the potential game-winning field goal, and in my mind I thought to myself, I'm going to the state championship game, I probably would have ripped my helmet off and started running down the field too. I'm just telling you bluntly, I would have done the same thing. And I think most of you who are listening right now, deep down, if you were in that situation, you probably would have done it too. So I don't blame the Chiefs whatsoever. Yes, it was a mental error. Yes, they should have completed the play. Yes, they've paid for it dearly. But there are so many positives that have come out of this campaign for that program that one play cannot negate, null, and void. even that play that cost them the chance to go to Lynchburg, even that play cannot erase what has happened this year. Salute the Chiefs. Coach Henderson's my coach of the year in the Central Region. I don't think it's even close. And that's no offense to Coach Bedwell, who, you know, overcame the two losses in the regular season, and now they're back in the state championship. Great job by him. But, you know, a lot of people thought that Bird would be back where they are right now. Nobody thought Monacan would be playing in December. Freshman quarterback. The list goes on and on. So he's my coach of the year. Of that, there is no doubt. And so my salute to Monacan on a fantastic job. Our best wishes to Coach Bedwell and the Skyhawks and to Jalen Elliott and to all the gang over there in Chester as they get their final week of performance and practice in. And they get set for Saturday's kickoff. And again, it's just after 12 noon. If you're going to Charlottesville, it's a 12:07, I think, kickoff. Tickets should be $10. And again, the game likely will be televised here in the area. And as soon as we get that information, we'll send it out on Twitter, put it on the website as well. All right, my friends, thanks for joining us for this edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RVA Sports Network. Try to cover a whole lot of things this week with the new top tens, with football wrapping up. Had a couple of things I had to get off my chest. Hope you don't mind. And at the same time, man, we've still got so much else going on in swimming and track and wrestling. I got to send a quick shout out to Molly Sheffield of Lee Davis High School, who just went into the U.S. Swimming AT&T Winter National Championships. Yeah, you heard me right. Winter National Championships, and put on some impressive performances, including a second place finish in one race. I'm not stretching here when I'm saying we may have a future Olympian swimmer, maybe not Rio, but maybe in 2020, on our hands here in the Central Region. We're going to keep our eyes on Molly. That is for sure as this swimming season continues. Man, lots of stuff going on, and glad that we're right in the middle of it to bring all the action to you here on the podcast weekly, on Twitter, on our websites, on Instagram, and on our live broadcasts here on the RVA Sports Network. Now, Tuesday night, we will be live again at Lee Davis for the Battle of Eastern Hanover. Girls at 6, boys at 7:30. RVA Sports Network coverage hits the air at 5:45. Saturday, we'll have you covered with the Bird State Championship game on Twitter at Chesterfield Sports. We may have another basketball broadcast this coming week. It's not set in stone yet. If we do, we'll get you the information as soon as possible. And we definitely will have a broadcast coming up the following week prior to heading into the holiday break. And, of course, we're going to be crazy busy at the holiday break. We've got Glen Allen Deep Run Boys Basketball a week from Wednesday night, December 17th, live here on the network. That is a 7:30 game. We'll hit the air at 7:15. So mark your calendar for that one. That is a top 10 battle. Right now, they stand at number 5 and number 6 in our top 10. Glen Allen Deep Run, December 17th, live right here on the RVA Sports Network. Thanks so much for being with us, guys. Rob Witham along with you. Have a wonderful week. Enjoy the action. And as always, we will see you on the sideline.
Let's go. Make no excuses now. I'm talking here and now. I'm talking here and now.
Hey, send us a DM on Twitter, wherever you follow us, about the podcast, what you like about it, what you don't, what you'd like to hear more of. We'll be glad to take your listener comments anytime and all the time.
About what you do.
Central Region Now is an exclusive presentation of the RVA Sports Network, a division of HCS Media Network, LLC. Copyright 2014, all rights reserved.
Let's go.
Hang on a second. The Raiders, they still have a chance at the number one pick, right?
Let's go.
All right, just checking.